Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wessex Safety Hour hosted by Hugh Margett. My name is Trudy and I'm your event manager. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please key *0 on your telephone and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I would like to advise all parties this conference is being recorded, and I'd now like to hand over to Hugh. Thank you, Hugh. Go ahead.
Thanks, Trudy. Good afternoon, everybody. Today's Safety Hour is hosted by myself, Hugh Marlitz, Local Operations Manager at Basingstoke, and I'm currently situated in Salisbury ASC taking this call. So firstly, let's talk about the figures from the past week. We had 75% attendance on Safety Hour last week, all on 26th of January 2016. Over the course of the past week, we had 89 close calls reported. I'd like to go into this call by talking about a number of incidents that have happened over the past week you may have read about on the blog and within the log. The first one being an incident that happened at Tisbury Quarry Level Crossing. This one quite pertinent to myself because it affected my team directly. An incident occurred where a signaller, having spoken to a user at a user work crossing at Tisbury Quarry, authorised the user to cross with what he believed to be sufficient time for that user to get into his car, get clear of the level crossing and feel safe in doing so. Having done that, a report was received at the time that it was believed by the level crossing manager who was on site at the time that there wasn't sufficient time. Now, the signaller operated within remit. He was told that he required 2 minutes and that was given. However, it has since come to light from this incident that we probably need to do a risk assessment about this level crossing to talk about whether that is sufficient time, given that over the past couple of months, that level crossing has changed from previous being a miniature warning light level crossing to a user work level crossing. Second incident I'd like to talk about is an incident regarding a failure of Delta Mike track circuit at Waterloo. Essentially, because of a set of points not being reliable, signaller up at Wimbledon ASC have been told that we are required to maintain them clipped and pegged in the normal position. This was over the course of 2 days, 27th and 28th of January. Between shifts, a communication breakdown had happened, and consequently, one of the signallers at Wimbledon ASC, a trainee on duty at the time, moved the points from normal to reverse position. The passage of a train over them points then resulted in the track circuit dropping out, causing a number of minutes, but also having quite a safety implication in that I then required a number of signals to sort of pass at danger. And the final instance I'd like to talk about is an incident at Cavills Lane Level Crossing, where a member of the S&T at Southampton slipped and his foot fell down the side of a rail and he twisted his ankle. He was able to walk in it at the time, but the twist was quite severe. A number of incidents there, all with different consequences. However, for me, what's quite pertinent is that a number of those incidents all have origins within some of the same non-technical skills that I'd like to talk about, applicably, notably applicable to signallers. However, applicable to us all, I think, in the jobs that we do. The ones I'd like to focus on are communications, planning and decision making, conscientiousness, and attention management. Communications, I think it's quite obvious from two of those incidents in particular, the Tisbury Quarry Level Crossing incident and the incident involving Delta Mike track circuit, that communications played a big factor in this. The Delta Mike track circuit issue in particular, there seems to have been a breakdown potentially in shift handover area where we hand over between shifts, and this has resulted in the incident happening. Planning and decision making is particularly pertinent on these incidents as well, whether that is planning quite far ahead as we do for line blockages and T3, but also planning in the immediate build up to the work that we're doing. Consistent risk assessment of what we're about to do, which has potentially resulted in the member of staff at Cavills Lane Level Crossing slipping. Potentially there is not a sufficient risk assessment of the immediate surrounding. and this has resulted in that person slipping. Conscientiousness, another one that I think is quite important to take note of in light of these issues, and that's in terms of being systematic with what we do, showing attention to detail, and recognising the importance of checking information and actions. I think if we look at the incident at Tisbury Quarry Level Crossing, there was perhaps a situation there where the signaller hadn't, while operating, we think there was sufficient time, had not taken the time to potentially check the panel to really give an assessment as to the position of the train, to the approaching train to the level crossing, has consequently authorised that user to cross over. Finally, attention management, and that results so that's applicable in that we have to consistently be attentive to what we are doing to ensure that we properly assess the risks and we are able to deal with anything that might arise during work, but also to ensure that we keep ourselves safe in the surroundings around us. I think a number of incidents that we've talked about, and obviously we have these every single day, it's important for us to be attentive to the environment around us. But it's also really important that we look out for each other as well. In terms of the incidents we have them, you know, like I say, on a regular day-to-day basis. And so these never become any less important at any stage. In terms of discussing that, obviously, what we can do is we can raise any issues that we have to our line managers and through the close call system and in a view to making us all safe going forward. Trudy, as far as I'm concerned, I'd quite like to take some questions if there are any on the instance I've discussed and what I've identified there.
Certainly, thank you, Hugh. Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you do wish to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone. Ensure your line is unmuted. Record your name, then press the hash key. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key star two. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you will be advised when to ask your question. All of the lines will remain on listen only. But just to remind you, if you do wish to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone. Ensure your line is unmuted, record your name, and then press the hash key. Thank you. There are no questions this time. Okay, we do have a question coming through for you, and that's from the line of...
Ivan.
Thank you, you're live in a call, please go ahead.
It's Ivan here. Question, or thought, I suppose, really was about the communication. We often have, in reports of incidents, etc., communication, as you say, is often it can be an issue. What sort of things would you put in place for that incident with the handover? You said it was the signaller shift handover. In terms of communication, would that particular incident, if you know about it, what sort of things do we put in place to make that so that that is avoided, where a signaller moved a set of points when perhaps he shouldn't have done to set a route. Whilst he could, it then caused the track circuit failure. What sort of things, Hugh, do you think should happen to avoid that, and so that we can learn from that?
Thanks, Alan. I think there are a number of things that we can do, actually. I think that the thing that we need to come to on all occasions is a clear understanding about what needs to be done. That includes in immediate communications, for example, between a signaller and a driver, coming to a clear understanding, and that's by employing repeat backs and effective summaries, breaking down communications into manageable chunks that can be understood and absorbed. In this particular instance, it's about using the tools that are available to us. We have a TRB in which we would record the nature of what is required to happen, but also we
What's a TRB? Sorry.
So an occurrence book, which is where we would write down the nature of what's actually happening on the panel, any incidents and any notes regarding the state of play, which should have been recorded in there, but also, more to the point, I think one of the tools that we really should be using, for example, in signalling, is reminder appliances. So a reminder appliance would have been positioned on the point switch to the position that was required to be in. Whether there was a communication about why that reminder appliance was on is left to be understood, I think. But what we need to do is, when we're handing over between shifts, for example, is come to a clear understanding with the person that we are being relieved by about what is happening. For example, if there's a reminder appliance on the point switch, come into a clear understanding with the person relieving yourself about why that reminder appliance is on. I'm not sure that will have happened in this instance, and as a result, we have the incident that occurred.
Right. So so I'm just asking, not because in some ways I don't know, but just for added info, I suppose. But for example, in a work site or maintenance or project, I think a similar thing would be some form of reminder that the points are on the manual, so that when the possession is given up, we don't give them all up and then realise that we've left the set of points on manual. Now, that's another, you know, if it's a camp lock with the lid undone, etc., is the way that you can see that, you know, there are triggers to see that it's left in manual. But I suppose it's leaving a reminder appliance for people when they're putting points in manual to not give them up in that state, such that then when the signaller goes to move them after the points, they foul. But also then there's the check after possession to see all the points are swung, etc., just to double check. But yeah, no, it's really great. The reminder appliance and the handover conversation. I mean, we can all learn from that, because we all have situations where we hand over or need a reminder appliance, as it were. The old knot in the hankies type thing is a theory that's been going on for a long time, but it's there for good reason. So the reminder appliance. So thank you.
Thanks, Alan.
Thank you for your question. There are no further questions.
Okay, thanks, Trudy. I guess we're not going to have any further questions. One thing I would like to draw everybody's attention to just before we finish the call is some of the additional information about mental health awareness on the Wessex Safety Hour blog, particularly pertinent given a massively disruptive and incident last night that had safety implications for a number of people, including our passengers. I think it's important to challenge our perceptions about mental health and to educate ourselves about something that affects us all. Okay. thank Julia. If there are not any more questions, I think it would be appropriate time to end the call.
Thank you, Hugh. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining, and enjoy the rest of your day.